So Romans chapter 13, it is a continuation, really, of chapter 12. Paul was just kind of continuing the thought from chapter 12 about us as Christians being living sacrifice Christians. That's what we are. We're living sacrifice Christians. So tonight, what I want to look at is, and I have two Bibles up here. I have one that's in the CSB because I like to flip back and forth between them because I like the way the CSB reads at times. And then I have the ESV as well. So, but in chapter 13, Paul is, after coming off of 12 and just kind of exhorting us to be living sacrifices to God and talking about our behavior as Christians. If you are a believer, this is what it looks like to be a believer, you know, based on the fact that now that we have this understanding from, again, from chapters 1 to chapter 11 of the grace and the mercy and the justice of God, how we became Christians, and the gifts that were given to us that we could not earn, right, which was salvation, and us being dead to the world and now alive in Christ, and all that comes with that. Now, in chapter 12, we ought to be living sacrifices. And then we kind of walk through that, through chapter 12 and that. So now he kind of rolls into us as Christians living in the world and submitting to authorities in verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. 1 through 7. So I want us to kind of read 1 through 7 and then just kind of start talking about what that looks like. So I'll read and then we'll just start having some conversation around that. So in chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, he says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore," verse 5, "therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Now, there's three things that I wrote down, right? So there's three areas here that Paul's looking at. First, about really verses 1 through 14, he's in chapter 13, he's talking about obviously what we just talked about was as Christians being subject to human authority. Number two, that we must love our neighbors as ourselves, because he talks a lot about that, right? And then he talks about that we are called to live as people of the light and to throw off the works of darkness. Those are like the three main points throughout verses 1 through 14. What we're going to look at right now is the first point in verses 1 through 7 when he talks about us submitting to the governing authorities. Now, okay, so when he says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God." What is that? What is he saying there? What do you think he's saying?
That God appoints the authorities.
Okay. Yeah. God appoints the authorities. Yeah. Anyone else?
Government.
Who are the governing authorities? In the context here, was he saying?
Under rule of like Rome, mm-hmm. and or the local government.
Okay, that's right.
Because he was writing to the Romans and Rome, but even if other Christians read it wherever they lived, whatever governing entity they were under is who, and it might be like, you know, law enforcement even at that time.
Sure. Yeah, anyone who's in authority. Is when he says the governing authorities, and both of you are right, right? First of all, first and foremost, God instituted human government. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand that. No matter what country you live in, human government, God has instituted it for the sake of right, controlling human behavior.
Right.
That's the whole point. Because without human government, what happens?
Chaos,
right? Just do whatever we want to do.
Right.
Right. That's right. Right.
Wild West.
Right. It would be the Wild Wild West or the Wild Wild Earth or whatever, right? I mean, you know, no, without some sort of governing authorities and laws and those things, human beings would just do whatever they feel is right in their own hearts. Right? Similar to the time of the judges, right? I mean, that's what was happening, right? Everyone was doing what they thought was right in their own heart, which if we do what we think is right in our own heart, that's a problem, right? Because the heart is desperately wicked, right? Who can know it, right? So we really don't want that. And so that's the whole point of the governing authority. That's the whole point of government. So, you know, of course, now, I wrote that up here because Paul wrote this from Corinth in AD 57, this letter. So from 54 to 68, look who was in power. Who was, guess who the emperor of Rome was?
Nero.
So Paul is writing to, now at the time that he was writing this letter to these Christians in Rome, there was still relative peace. Because Nero, I mean, he comes in 54, but he doesn't really become the Nero that we know until later. But at this time, the Romans that he's writing to, these Christians in Rome that he's writing to, still had some semblance of relative peace. There really wasn't a lot going on other than just what would normally be happening within the Roman Empire. There was nothing happening specifically to Christians at the time that would cause them to be in fear or anything like that. However, after the great fire in Rome, so Nero blamed the Christians for the fire. And so as a result of that, he said he started to just persecute Christians horribly. And these are some of the ways that he was persecuting them. He was crucifying them. He was feeding them to lions at gladiator matches. He was used burning human carcasses to light his garden parties. So think about him having a garden party. You're going over, hey, I'm going over to Nero's. He's having a garden party tonight. You go over to Nero's, and there are bodies on fire to light the party.
First of all, they can't smell good.
Yeah exactly. But these are dead human bodies, but they were Christians. Yet, Paul says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now, being subject or being in submission, I'm sure some say submission. So there's a difference between submitting and obeying. Okay. Now, we obey the law, right? In our country, we have laws and we have to obey those laws.
Right.
But the time that we don't obey the law is if those laws are in conflict with the will of God. Notice what I said, when they are in conflict mm-hmm. with the will of God. Mm-hmm. Not because we think it is, mm-hmm. not because we just don't like it, but because it is in conflict, mm-hmm. right, with the will of God. Now, many see that very differently, okay? But we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. The will of God is what's in the Word of God. So if you want to know what God's will is, it's right here. Well, he's telling us what his will is. Obey the governing authorities. Submit to them. Right? What they're telling you to do, if you're supposed to not steal, and we have laws that say we don't steal, right? But we also have God's law that tells us that we don't steal. So we already know that. But of course we have laws, and every nation has laws concerning this, just using stealing as an example. If you get caught, you're going to be punished. If you steal, you're going to be punished for that. If you murder, you're going to be punished for that. Whatever the crime might be, whatever the violation might be, if you speed, you get a speeding ticket. That's right. That's what happens. If you don't pay your bills, then you get interest tacked on, right? And then what happens? Then you know, then it messes up your credit, and you know, there's all kinds of things that happen, right? So there's so we have to obey or submit ourselves to the governing authorities. The only time that we would reject that, we would reject their authority, is if they're telling us to do something that is contrary to the will of God, something that is unrighteous. We should not do. We can reject that. You cannot obey that. Yes.
Do you have like an example? I'm having a hard time like wrapping my head around that, like it going against the will of God, but it also saying like to submit to.
So.
I'm thinking like COVID. That's where my first thoughts were. But I'm like, how would that be against like the will of God?
It's not. So here's the thing. So let's talk about COVID, right? Many people were like, well, I'm not going to wear, well, first of all, people were saying, well, it didn't exist. Well, that was stupid. Because obviously it did exist, right? Because people were getting it and people were dying. So we know that it existed. But then there were some who would say, well, you know, I'm not going to wear a mask because for whatever the reason might be, right? But at the time, the entire country had to wear one. Right, so you know, because people were getting sick and we were going out into public, you still had to go out and get food and do all kinds of stuff, get gas, whatever. And so if you went into a location that said, hey, you have to wear a mask, well, that's kind of what we had to do.
Right.
But there were people who would not do it because they just didn't want to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going, okay, I'm not understanding, guys. I mean, I don't want to wear this stupid mask any more than you do, you know, but this is, at this time, this is what we're being told that we have to do. Whether we believe that it works or not, that's beside the point. We've been told that this is what we need to do, if we're using COVID as that example.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so, in that sense, that's a little, you know, we really don't get to say, well, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Although people did. But, again, I think that was disobeying, right, the governing authority at the time. Now, once they lifted that and you know, you had choices, well, then that's a little different. But at the time when it was a mandate, it was mandated by the government, that's something that we had to do. That's something that we had to obey.
The chapter, on a simpler term, it was also not loving your neighbor.
And it was not loving your neighbor. That's excellent. Excellent point. Because here's the thing, right? It was a transmissible, right, disease. And I don't know, you know, you don't know if someone around me has a compromised immune system or whatever. And so in order to love my neighbor, if I really love my neighbor, in order to do that, then I should have put the mask on so that I did not infect someone else. Because the purpose of wearing the mask is never really to protect you, it's to protect someone else. That's what it does. Yes.
So that also brings up the question of the vaccine.
Yeah.
So now the vaccine was a choice. So the vaccine is a little different. The vaccine is a choice. There was no mandate to do it. Yeah.
Some people was like, well, why wouldn't you take it to save
right.
your neighbor, or
sure.
save your family? So then it's still a choice, but then people see it as you're not doing what's going to keep
you're
you
safe.
You're not loving. In that case, it could be, well, you know, I'm not loving my neighbor. I would totally agree with that, Diane.
Well, changing the subject a little bit. What I thought was really terrible was telling them we can't have church.
That's one thing.
That was the main thing. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. Was that they made you not be able to go to church.
There's parts of the country where they have liquor stores and strip joints open, and mm-hmm. most of the churches.
That was what was here.
Yeah, I thought it was hypocritical in certain senses.
Would it be against God for leadership in a church? Would they be going against God's will by obeying the government and closing the law? They were still setting an example of letting liquor stores and strip joints open.
Okay, Debbie.
I agree with you on it being hypocritical, but at the same time, we had technology available that we could still project the
yes.
services. So until we knew more about the disease, because right at first we didn't know
what
it
was
actually about. We had our hesitations that it was real. We had our thoughts that it could could be as bad as Ebola, but it wasn't, or we didn't know. We had zero knowledge of this because we weren't being told a lot.
Right.
So the fact that we did have resources, and our church went above and beyond and even implemented cameras and more technology and built infrastructure around the fact that we had to project our services live so that we continue to have services.
Right.
We just were mandated by the government to close our doors. And until the day that we actually can get out in the parking lot, we obeyed the governing.
Right,
the governing
we didn't do that.
But as soon as we could get in the back parking lot, we had 4 weeks out there in blistering sun.
Yeah.
Because we were ready to come back to church.
Several hundred people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we didn't go against God's will in the fact that we were still having services, and we implemented like 10 people or less, and that was including all of the people that were on stage. I don't know if you remember who complained the base for that during that time.
Right.
But there was a limited number of people just so we stayed within the laws of the government until we had more information. But I think that the people that were going against it and opening strip clubs and bars
didn't need
to get prosecuted because they
were allowed to be open.
There were some of them.
Yeah, that's true. There were some places
where they
allowed certain places other than places that were where there was a necessity, like grocery stores. Those things had to be open because you got to get something to eat. You got to get all the things that we need, right, to live, right? And so that's one thing. But yeah, I felt like, you know, where they had those situations where you had churches closed, but you had other things open, that where gatherings were happening, that was hypocritical. So in that sense, you know, we still have to use wisdom, right? Because here's the thing, we can't totally abandon wisdom,
right?
You can't do that, right? God gives us wisdom. And so we can't abandon it. And like Debbie said, you know, so even here, if Pastor Sean would still come in and preach, and we would still have the cameras pointed on him, and people were at home watching service, and you know, it stunk, right? But you know, that's what we had to do for a little while. And then as the laws were being relaxed, okay, what can we do so that one, we continue to keep, you know, obeying the governing authorities, but at the same time we can still, you know, worship God. And so, you know, they looked into that, leadership looked into that. What does this mean? Is this right? How can we maneuver this and still make sure that we're walking in obedience? And we did that. So I praise God for our leadership that we were doing that, you know. And then we had services, right? And then as they relaxed even more, obviously there were some people who still felt like they needed to wear a mask. So then we started having, like, you know, the mask service, and then those who didn't want. I mean, you know, so we did that, you know, just to accommodate. Because listen, everybody was at different, you know, different stages, different levels as it was coming down. So it's just a matter of respecting everyone and making sure that we weren't condemning people for doing so, you know, for feeling a certain way or still having some being apprehensive about that. But I think in this case, I think that's exactly what we're supposed to do. You know, we listen to what the governing authorities are telling us. Okay, we want to make sure that we're following those rules, those laws. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we're loving our neighbors as well. Because it's really not about us.
Right.
Am I hurting someone else because I just don't want to do it? And if that's the case, then I'm wrong. And that's disobedience. Then that's sin. Yes?
There was a lot of confusion. Because I'm talking about the vaccine kind of shot because of another vaccine. I'm fortunate I have a niece that worked right in that hospital in Brooklyn, New York, and she got it because of the nature of the job. Okay, and my daughter got it from someone that came to work, and they told me I couldn't go and visit my daughter. Was I afraid? No, but I was. I read everything I could.
Right.
And one of the things they said, you're supposed to be exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin E,
right.
Vitamin C, and they told me I couldn't go and see my daughter. I said, if I get it, I get it. But I'm going to take her outside to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
give her a lot of vitamin C, vitamin E.
Yeah.
I made homemade food for my daughter.
Yeah.
And they allowed me to go in, but when I went out with my daughter, she had to take off her mask. I had to take off my mask. And I kept, you have to research, you got to do things, not because somebody said so. Okay?
Right.
No, after the vaccine, the first one, my niece told me, don't let them give it a shot, because they didn't even know what they were getting.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to put something in your body you don't know.
Right.
And she told me, she said, Tia, don't let them give her a shot. Okay, did I get one? No, because I tested negative. But because my daughter was, what they call it, you don't feel the symptoms.
Asymptomatic.
Yes, she didn't have it.
Right.
Okay, so then when my niece told me that she wasn't taking the second one either, because she's supposed to be donating, she was supposed to be there. She has an immune, I don't know, speaking in English.
Okay? Right.
Oh, so yeah. Anyway, she told me that she wasn't taking it.
Okay,
she survived, and my daughter did too. And then they want to give you number two, a booster or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And my niece said, no, don't give her the booster. And then came another number two, and then came another number three. Mm-hmm. Well, thank God, I tested negative for everything. So what am I? How come I tested negative in everything? So, and it's not, I'm over 65, so it wasn't because of that. So I am, what do you call that? There's a name for that.
Anomaly.
But there are people like me that never tested positive.
Right.
And when I exposed to it, yeah, my daughter.
Very blessed.
But there's a name for that. You're like a...
Except immune. The rule.
Like immune.
No, I know that word. I can't remember. My niece used it, and she said there are people that are... I forgot the name. So... I could donate plasma, or whatever they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have that. It's not immune, and it's not... okay. Whatever. So they themselves had us confused. Okay? And that was... It was not a vaccine. It was a shot. They mixed something together, plasma, derm, and all of them. But for you to get a vaccine, you have to test it a whole lot of times. And, I think it's an attitude too, because some people were just afraid. They were afraid because they were going to die. But people that had heart condition, high blood pressure, diabetes, those were the people that really, really were supposed to be number one attention. But you have a compromised illness. Okay, I thank God, well... I'm not going to say that, but anyway, I'm very careful what I eat, and it does help.
I remember, y'all, on those, you remember Dick Button, when he was here, right?
Yeah.
And so Dick, he caught COVID, and he was almost out of here.
Yeah. You mean Brother
Button.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
So
he and his wife. Okay.
He and his wife both caught it at the same time.
Right.
And she actually he had to go to the hospital. He was on a ventilator.
Wow. Yes.
And he was close to dying.
Wow.
Okay. And then of course his wife was at home by herself. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, his son came down. He said his son come down. About.
No, I had her call 911.
There were a lot of.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, because he would have died. He would have.
Well, she was very sick, and she was calling me asking me what to do, and I said, you need to call 911 and go to the hospital yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't happen someday. So it was a very real disease.
And
it affects everybody different. Like, you never caught it, but they buttoned in and on the side, and then people like us get it and barely have a cold. It's just, it was very unknown.
Yeah, it was
very, very close.
I think...
The government didn't do us right. They covered up a lot, and they...
I think the way we have to look at this, and I think COVID is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all we have is our government and our leaders and those who have, you know, that God appointed. Right. We have our government that's been instituted by God, so you don't get a pass, right? Whether you agree with them or not, you don't get a pass. So if it's something that is in contradiction to God's will, then and only then, you know, do we get to say, no, I'm not going to do it. Otherwise, it's something that we must do. We must be obedient to that end. Now, in terms of you asking about the vaccine, I would agree that some, you know, if you, again, it was a choice. If you wanted to get it, you could. If you didn't want to get it, you didn't have to. Well, right, depending on where you work. Now,
nursing,
yeah, some nurses. Now, some of them, and here's the deal. Like, some of them said, well, I'll just get fired. you know, and not take it, right? Which I, okay, that was, again, that was your choice. But, you know, if that's how you take care of your family, why would you risk that? Because, you know.
But the Bible says, I'm translating here, the assembling, you're supposed to continue assembling, right? And there were churches closed, and there were churches that did not close.
Well,
so what are you following there? It's in the Bible not to, I know they have
to forsake the assembling of the saints.
Exactly.
Right, but you can't apply that. That does not apply
there
here.
There were churches that did that.
No, but you can't apply that here. So when the government says we have a human medical crisis, okay, that we have to shut everything down, you can't just say no, because the Bible tells me that we need to assemble, because we were still assembling, it was just virtually. So there was still the assembling of the saints, right? Now some churches don't have what we have. So we're blessed that we have cameras, that we have webcasts, that we have that. Some churches, they couldn't do it. Now, some met outside, right? You know, open air. They had the stands, they had mics, and they met outside. Some of them did do that, the ones who could. But, you know, those smaller churches who didn't have those resources, they couldn't do anything. You know what I mean? And this isn't the first pandemic. If you go back to the early 1900s, you had the flu. You had the Spanish flu. You know, and they had to do the same thing. They had to shut it down, right? You know, for at least for a time. And then what did they do? They reopened, and then they kind of got back to, you know, doing what they were doing. The other side of this, though, I think where I saw Christians getting into trouble, and I saw us not really, you know, loving one another, is the way that we were talking about one another during this time. And I thought that was terrible. If you read social media, if you just listen, you know, we were nipping at each other about through this whole situation, which I thought was terrible, because that was not loving your neighbor at all either.
So you mean when things were going on about what you love, like you said, love your neighbor, why would you not get the shot? If you don't, then that means you don't care about me.
Right.
But then, like they've said, some people had to get the shots.
Right.
Some people, it was a choice. With me, I fought with it too. But I came to realize that it's like, well, Lord, you've been protecting me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I get it, which I did get COVID, and I got sick, but I didn't get real, real sick.
Right.
I didn't lose taste and smell. But I still felt okay. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I just don't trust this shot. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to take it, but I trust you.
I don't know that the shot necessarily is what we point to say, well, you don't love, because really the shot's for you. The shot's not doing anything for your neighbor. It's really for me.
Well, yeah, I guess they were trying to make it seem like, well, if you get sick, you're going to make me sick. But then still, if you get the shot, you still won't get sick anyway.
Right. The shot is not to stop COVID, right? It was just to try to
minimize
the effects of COVID. That was the whole point behind it. As any shot, whether you get the flu shot, whether you know the kids, because look, all of our babies have to get shots. They all have to get it. Be immunized, right? And immunization is something that's part of just what we do here in the United States, right? But in this case, we had a disease that came on that Debbie said earlier, we didn't know what in the world was happening. You know what I mean? It's kind of shocked, not just us, but the world right?
Yeah.
The world over. And so, but I do think that the shot, I think, is a little different. I think, you know, getting the shot, you know, that's a choice if you wanted to do that. But again, that was really for you as an individual to make that decision. That's not something where I think the Bible is really speaking to that. But what I do think is when it came down to, you know, the mandates at the time, especially in the beginning, early in 2020 and all, you know, during that time period, especially, I think at that point was where I saw, you know, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the issues popping up. And so it happened and we got through it. But I think what we should have learned from that is that, one, you know, as we get here and we look at, okay, the governing authorities, when something like that, when we can look at it and use wisdom and go, okay, this is something that's affecting not just like this little portion, but the entire world, I think we have to use wisdom there and say, you know what, we need to follow the instructions of those who've been placed in authority over us, right, until such a time that we don't have to do that anymore, right? And I think we as a church did that. I know that everyone had differing opinions about it, and that's fine. You can have that. But at the end of the day, right, when it comes down to it, right, the only thing that matters is, are we walking in obedience to God, or are we trying to fulfill our own selfish, you know, ambitions and agendas? That's really the question when it comes down to it. You have to search your own heart and take a look at that. I mean, I knew this was going to come up, right? So I was prepared for it. So, but it's okay. I mean,
thanks, Shelby.
Yeah, thanks, Shelby. Dimitri, Shelby, John. Man, see, I knew our class, man. It's just trying to. No, that's good though. No, that's good. That's okay, because that's a question that we among many other questions, right? We have about governing authorities. I know when we talk about listening to governing authorities and obeying them, again, it's pretty clear. God instituted the authorities. He put them there, right? And so if there's anything that we're doing that is contrary or in contradiction to or against, right, the law of God, then it's against God's will, and we shouldn't do it. But if it is in line, then we have to walk in obedience to that. We have to do that. You got to pay your taxes, because he talks about paying taxes. Right? I mean, we got to pay taxes. Jesus paid taxes.
He even said, "Told them, render unto Caesar."
That's right. Perfect. And that's why I put this up here about, because I know, you know, also politics, right? Politics plays a big role in our country, and one of the things that I saw, you know, in the midst of COVID and, you know, President Trump and all the stuff that was going on, was Christians, you know, at odds with one another. And that was not a good look at that time for the church. It was not. It really wasn't at all. I don't think that we did a very good job of showing love to our neighbor in that respect either. Because here's the thing. God is saying, walk in, you know, submit yourself to the authority, and he doesn't say, unless they're bad. He doesn't say that. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. You want to submit yourself to that, to their authority. Period. You don't get to, I mean, even if they're bad leaders, they can be horrible. Nero was horrible. Okay, if you don't know much about Nero, go read about him. This is who they lived under. So at any moment, you could be killed. You could be, you know, you could be tortured. Now, no one's coming up and torturing us. No one's doing that. No one's coming in your home, snatching you out of there, taking you, throwing you to the lions, you know, beating you up, putting you in some dark dungeon somewhere where you're dying of hunger, and then throw you out there to be eaten by lions. No one's doing that to us. No one. We have choices. We can either vote one way or we can vote the other way. Whatever you choose to do there, that's an individual choice.
Is there anything in the Bible, because I don't have a degree in the Bible, okay, that says that you should not vote?
No.
So my concern is, why do Christians not vote? Because many stayed home and didn't vote.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, the Bible doesn't speak about voting, period. There's nothing, you know, politics does not play a role in Scripture. Politics is not there. God is not concerned with politics. What he is concerned with is our heart.
He allowed it.
Yeah, he allowed it, but that's not here. That's not biblical. So let me, John, you want to say something?
Yeah, so I just had a comment. Like, sure. The Bible does say that the rulers, the kings, are appointed by God.
Right.
But me personally, you know, it's a personal opinion. But to me personally, like, I kind of take that along the route of, like, you trust God to have sovereignty, but you have to do your part.
That's right.
So the Bible doesn't, like, Bible doesn't really say anything, Christians, thou shalt vote. But, you know, it does say that the ruler is in the hand of God. But God also gives us the opportunity to do our own thing. I'm not saying that right.
We have our own will.
We have our own will. He puts us in a position. He put us in this country, right? And this, he gave this country freedoms so that we can exercise our rights to vote. God is sovereign, and I'm not trying to say that he's not. But you can't be mad at God for not putting somebody in office when you didn't go out and vote.
You exercise that right to vote.
Right.
If they don't vote, why are they complaining?
Yeah. So I mean, it's like the way it was explained to me, and I kind of laugh at this, but it was explained to me in a joke. You know, there's a man on top of a building, and it's flooding, right? And then the ambulance comes through the flooded road. Hey, you need help? But no, God will provide. He's like, okay, so
right.
A boat, a boat comes through. Hey, you need help? Nope, God will provide.
Right.
A helicopter comes through. You need help? Nope, God will provide. Yeah. It's to heaven. God, why don't you provide? I sent you an ambulance.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but
right. No, but that's true.
God is sovereign, but
that is excellent.
We can't just sit on our rears and expect God to do what we want Him to do.
Right.
So in that sense. That's my personal belief.
Because they had information how many Christians did not vote.
Mm.
So then what are we talking about? The result of not voting, and then they're not satisfied with the government.
Mm.
We have that freedom to vote.
And it's our job to pray for leadership.
That's right.
We just
don't
always pray, because nowhere does it say to stop praying. And
right.
So we have to make sure that we do that as well, doing our part again.
Exactly.
And praying and supporting and respecting. I think what made me the most upset is how the disrespect
mm-hmm.
for those
yes.
who are president and authority. He may not have been your choice, but I think that's what made me the most angry is that, why are you disrespecting your leadership like that? Because
right.
that is not biblical, you know?
Right.
And I would hear Christian leaders mm-hmm. disrespect.
Yes.
And I'm like, the Bible says you are to honor those.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray for them and all of that. So, you know, we still, got to do our part.
Yeah.
You know, we have a choice, yes, but God expects us to do it.
Debbie,
that.
Go. Man, that's awesome. This is great. Keep it coming.
Chief Judge Forum that I was asked to be involved in from the Board of Elections this last night,
mm-hmm.
and they needed 1,000 workers or more
okay.
for 2024. So do your part and vote, but also come help us.
Long
day.
Look at that plug. We see the little plug there. Yeah, nice. Nice. That was good. That was good as that.
I was asked to promote
you did it.
I've done it for 10 years,
part,
and that's my part.
No, that's awesome.
I only vote, I vote the poll.
To your point about respect, where it says pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. You know, that's you're exactly right. There were too many times that, you know, Christians, people who proclaimed Christ, were very, very disrespectful toward whoever was in office.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, and
it goes both ways.
Right.
And it's been that way since I started voting.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I thought when I voted my first election way back then, I'm going to age myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that old. Whenever the first president that I voted, the first, you know, you would have thought the way my church acted, like that it was the Antichrist. 30-something years ago.
Right.
Because, you know, they just beefed it up. So it's politics do play a role in our lives. But we are blessed to be in America. We have a choice. Get out and vote. If you don't like it, pray for who gets it.
That's right. That's it. That's excellent. And that's what we should do. We're supposed to, and we are commanded.
Yeah.
If you want to know what's in the Bible, we're commanded to pray for those in authority over us.
Yeah.
We are commanded, right? It's not a choice.
Yeah.
Do it. So whether it is your mayor, whether it is your governor, whether it is the president, whether it's your senators, representatives, your boss, you know, the police officer, whomever, you know, wherever you are and you have authority
mm-hmm.
or governing over you, right? We're supposed to be praying for them, right? That they will If they're unsaved, pray for their salvation, right? If they're leading, pray for them to be better leaders. If they're terrible, we should be praying, you know, for them to be better leaders. Yeah.
I know, right?
He can listen. Yeah. Dimitri, you know, so, just saying. John's here, so I'm just going to have to, you know. Yeah. But that's what we're supposed to do. We pray for our elders, you know, and our pastors here in church. Anyone who is in authority over us, we should be praying for them. And if, again, especially if they don't know the Lord, we really should be praying that they come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And so, we weren't doing that, right? We were angry for whatever reasons. No matter how you vote, we were angry, and so it just you know, I'm looking at social media, and I'm just like, wow, like what is going on here? You know, like it was just incredible, you know, and it was sad. It was really sad, and then some of the people I knew, and so that made it even worse because I'm like, man, like really, you know? And one of them I had to call him and have a conversation with him. I was like, can we talk? You know, I mean, you know, I knew him personally, so I was able to have a conversation. But yeah, Debbie.
There was even a Pulitzer Prize person who writes for the New York, or I think it's New York papers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He even came out this week and he's like telling people if you're, and I'm not going to say which way, he said if you know people and it's their family and friends and they voted a specific way, we need to shun them. So that being said, it's going both ways.
It's going both ways.
We're being ugly and they're being ugly back. And so we can't
do that.
We can't act like that because he's obviously not a believer. He's saying that.
Right.
Or if he is, he's in complete wrong. But I feel like he's probably obviously not a believer. But that being said, we need to show the love of Christ by demonstrating that even if we disagree with you, if you have a, you know, it's not, we don't hate you.
Right.
We just have a disagreement, and we can agree to disagree.
Right.
And do it in love.
And do it in love.
I definitely was praying for the leader, even, like you said, even if you didn't vote for the person. But you're looking for the betterment, the best for the country.
Exactly. But it also depends
on the local level. I don't remember praying for the salvation, but I remember praying for success. And that is part two, because when you vote your biblical principle, you only have two choices.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello.
Well, I mean, you know,
it's like my family, they try to tell you who to vote for, and I said, vote biblically, the most you can get closer to the Bible.
Okay.
But it is true. I never vote for the salvation.
But I tell you.
Because I will say, well, Is there anyone in this country that doesn't know or have been exposed to the gospel? And someone said, yeah, there are people that don't know. And I'm like, in 21st century?
Yeah, there are.
If
you're a teacher, I mean.
Fourth grade.
Yes.
And I remember a little girl looking at me and she goes, well, what is that? You know, we were talking about, I think it was Jonah. And I mean, you can see which children are not exposed to the Bible at all, know nothing about it because they sit there and they look at you. And I had one little girl to say, what is that? And I said, you don't go to church? And she's like, no. I said, you've never been to church? She said, no.
Well, it's not so much church a cartoon. They have a lot of those topics, too.
But they're not going to have a lot of biblical things.
Not biblical.
No.
What do they watch?
No.
Because it's not on Nick at Night.
Teletubbies?
No, that can't be.
Unless you purposely expose them to that, you're not going to find it on there. And I'm telling you, my experience with my K-4 last year and my fourth graders this year, there are children in our class that have never, ever been to church.
There are people in the United States who've never heard the gospel.
Or
the families that you are around, if they're not talking about it,
you don't hear.
I can't imagine.
It's true.
They're just not exposed. Their background, where they come from, they don't know.
Yeah.
They've never been.
Here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right here in
the United States of America. I mean that's amazing, right? But it's really not amazing. because it's sad, really. But the thing is that you think because we have, I mean, yes, we have Bibles everywhere. You've got churches everywhere. But that means absolutely nothing. That doesn't mean that you heard the gospel. I mean, there's plenty of people that the church, you can hear people worshiping at the church, and they get up on Sunday morning and walk right by it and could care less about what's happening in there. Here in the United States of America.
That's right.
That's the way that, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, the United States really would be, there's a greater indictment against America than there is for any other country, I would think.
I do too.
Because the thing, you know, you live in a country where there are no churches, you know, it's just, you know, wherever you might be in the world, and there's just nothing, you're just worshiping whatever. Because look, we all worship something.
Right.
Even atheists worship something,
yeah.
Okay? And so we worship something because God has put that in our hearts, right? To yearn and worship something, right? We just don't know that it's Him that we should be worshiping or that we need. But no matter where you are in the world, but there are places in the world where they've never heard the gospel, which is why God has sent ones, people that He's sending, missionaries and others, and you know, who are going out and proclaiming the gospel in other countries.
Well, excuse me, because in my country they still get religion in elementary school. Kindergarten, all the way up. It may not be Baptist, but it is.
Is it the gospel?
Catholicism, they know about God, they know about certain things, okay? But to say they don't know anything about God in this country, I'm amazed.
I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach here?
My A4 student did not know, and I have students in my class, fourth grade, that never had been to church.
They did eliminate religion in this country, right?
Oh yeah, that's been gone.
Madeline Marie O'Hara. Yeah.
They're trying to think like one nation under God out of the anthem, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what. I heard Pastor Sean preach in chapel the other morning when I was gathering up stuff, and he was teaching about Jesus. So when they come here, they're getting
it. You're going to get it, right?
So
that's right.
Pastor Sean's doing chapel, and I heard I thought to myself, they're getting some good theology.
Yeah, they are.
And the hope is that they'll go spread it to their family.
That's right. Amen. Man, I sure hope so.
We're teaching them every day so they can share it with their family.
Yes.
Well, it's 7:45. Man, okay, so.
Well.
One through seven. That's what we did. That was it.